The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
This week, two oil tankers, one Norwegian and one Japanese, were attacked as they travelled in the Gulf of Oman. The price of crude oil went up by 4.5% in the immediate aftermath, and tensions are said to have increased between the US and Iran as a result. To talk us through the implications of all this, we're joined by David Horgan, Managing Director of Petrel Resources. David, you're very welcome to the programme. Oil spiked on the back of it. People are concerned that tensions are building. What might the implications of all that be for oil prices and our own prices at the pumps in the future?
Well, the people tend to focus on the explosions, which are quite modest and quite controlled. No one got killed. Small charges were let off against non-US or close allied flag tankers. But the market got the signal. And what the Iranians or whoever the proxies responsible were doing is saying, look, our exports have fallen, our net exports have fallen almost to zero during May. And they were 2.8 million barrels just over a year ago. That has to be hurting Iran. It has impact on their output. And because the production in Iran, like Venezuela, is mainly from old, low pressure, but very big reservoirs. If you stop producing for a long enough period, it can actually impact your ability to produce in the future and can end up with you leaving oil in the ground that otherwise would be produced. It's a bit like running an old car. You've got to keep the car running. If you don't use it for a few months, it may not start again. So this is a very serious matter for Iran. It was inevitable that there's going to be some sort of retaliation. The retaliation has been quite a modest one. That's the immediate worry and the fear as the Americans deploy more hardware that there'll be miscalculations that will spiral out of control. However, it does mask a longer-term trend, which is more important for your listeners, which is that the supply-demand balance has been tightening steadily since end 2016. And two anticipated things have happened. One, Venezuela has almost vanished from the supply. It's down to 800,000 barrels a day. It was 3.4 when Chavez came to power 20 years ago. And now Iran is effectively out of the market because they're exporting 100 million barrels a day, but they import that much in petrol and other products because they've limited refining capacity.
So they're not really a net exporter. So then, but what about, if you look at what happened there, the price of oil spiked 4.5% on the back of this uncertainty, tension, etc. But the next day, it sort of went back down again because of genuine concerns about the global economy, the US-China trade war. There's a view that there may not be quite as much demand and therefore the price softened.
In the oil market, you have to remember that at the moment, about 30 barrels are traded to every barrel burnt. So this is really a market driven by financial speculators, hedge funds, private equity, rather than fundamentals now. And the current perception in the market is quite negative on fossil fuels, including the oil market. They think that it's a dying industry. Now, it's not, but they think it is. So it's the inverse of the situation 15 years ago when it was all the rhetoric of peak oil and they thought that the oil price could only go up. And that wasn't true either.
But we are moving away from fossil fuels.
No, we're not. If you look at the total consumption of primary energy in the world, it's about 88% fossil fuels, which is higher than it was 15 years ago. And coal is growing. Not only is oil growing, the mix is changing. There's more petrochemicals and plastics. Almost no oil now burnt to generate power. But oil is growing worldwide now by about 1.4%. Last year, 2.3%. The long-term average...
So who's using it all, David? Is it China?
India and China, yeah.
India and
Every Chinese person wants, first of all, a scooter, then a small car, then a big car, and now the Indians are entering. And the Indian population is growing, Chinese population relatively stagnant. As people enter the middle class, they consume more oil. The oil is not easily substitutable for transport. You can substitute it for power generation, and the best way to generate heat is actually from natural gas, but coal is cheaper throughout most of the world. But for petrochemicals and for transport, it's very hard to substitute oil.
And with the situation in the Gulf, it has been said that this is very scary times for shipping and also for insurers of shipping in that area.
Yeah, now, no one's died. They've set off very small charges, which have just put a dent in these big supertankers. Remember, these supertankers are carrying 400,000 tons of oil, 100,000 tons of steel. So you need to have a big bang to make much impact. And a small charge above the waterline is really symbolic more than anything else. But it does impact on the insurance market. And if you remember, like 70% of insurance is actually marine insurance. And that in turn complicates the situation of countries like Iran and Venezuela, because even if you have a buyer in, say, China to buy your crude oil, and even if you have an insurance company based in Hong Kong to insure it, 70% of the reinsurance market goes through London, which is vulnerable to American sanctions.
In a word, are oil prices going to go up, David?
Yeah, I expect them to go up to the 80s over the coming months.
And you sound quite pleased about that. David Horgan of Petrel Resources, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.